It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, canning and other forms of food preservation like fermentation are making a bit of a comeback in popular food culture. We'll talk about the motivation behind this resurgence and visit with a master food preserver about what to do with your fall produce. Christina Ward is a certified master food preserver for Milwaukee County. Good morning, Christina, and welcome to the Morning Show.
Good morning, everyone.
So there's been a comeback for canning and other forms of food preservation. What's behind this?
I think a lot of it is awareness of where our food's coming from, the growth of farmers markets and urban gardens and victory gardens. Once people start growing their own produce and enjoy the act of growing, you realize that there's only so many cucumbers you can eat in a week. And so you start looking at how you can, all that hard work, how can you make that last longer? And I think that's one of the main things behind the resurgence of food preservation.
Well, I guess, you know, if you take a look at our history, it hasn't been that long that we've really had supermarkets where we could get fresh produce all year long. So if you wanted to have vegetables in January, you had to can your own. When we use the term canning, though, I want to make sure that we're precise about this. What are we talking about?
What you're talking about when you're talking about food preservation in general is the science of erecting barriers to pathogens. And so canning is one of those. Canning is a combination of using acidity, you know, increasing acidity or water reduction via salt or sugar. And then additionally processing in a hot water bath canner, which is creates a slight pressure change, driving out the oxygen, putting a lot of heat through a jar of, say, pickles or jam, and essentially rendering that an inhospitable place for germs to grow. And that's the act that makes it safe, that makes it pantry stable for about 18 months.
So how is canning then is different from fermentation and dehydration? How?
It's essentially, they're all techniques, and some of those techniques can be combined. So we talk about like acidification as a technique, and that can be making a vinegar-based pickling solution that you, say, pickle apples in. It's apple season. Pickled apples, a great Wisconsin Supper Club favorite. So pickled apples in and of themselves are preserved. You could stick them in the fridge. You could can them. If you then use salt essentially as an attractant, and then you start getting a different type of acid, and that's a lactofermentation. And that's where fermentation comes in. So when you think about sauerkraut, you're essentially a bacteria farmer, and you're creating an environment for the bacteria to move in, and the poop of that bacteria is acid. And again, that makes it inhospitable to other pathogens.
And for some people, sauerkraut is inhospitable, period. But I'm not one of those. Sauerkraut, an example of fermentation. I guess when I saw that, I was thinking about the big deal right now for do-it-yourself wine or do-it-yourself beer. I guess that's where my head went when I heard fermentation. But this is I guess I'd forgotten that sauerkraut was a form of that. So we're seeing a lot of people make a lot of different things, wine, beer, sauerkraut. They're taking all their produce and putting it in the jar and storing it for later. What advice do you have for people who are just getting started with food preservation?
One of the basic things to remember is food preservation, though you're working with food and you're in the kitchen, it's not necessarily cooking. It's a little bit more sciencey, a chemistry. So when you're first getting started, you'll want to use safe and tested recipes. And that's where you master food preserver, one of the more ridiculous titles in creation, is it's left over from the great university system, the land grant university system, like the University of Wisconsin, where the science of the people was to be disseminated back to the people. And so Wisconsin, in consortium with a lot of other universities across the country, they work to do the testing to say, this is a safe practice, this is not a safe practice. because so many food traditions are passed down through families, the university acts as then a science holding bin to make sure that people are doing things safely. So if you're getting started, do it safely. And so don't, you know, ask Aunt Florence what she thinks she should do. Go check out what the University of Wisconsin has to say, and their website has tons of recipes.
All right. Well, when we continue our conversation, we're going to talk about some of those things specifically and what kinds of vegetables are being preserved right now. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm here with Christina Ward, certified master food preserver. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, now that you have all this wonderful produce from your garden or local farmer's market, what do you do to preserve it? Well, that's what we're talking about this hour on the morning show with Christina Ward, certified master food preserver for Milwaukee County. She's also author of the book Preservation, the Art and Science of Canning, Fermentation, and Dehydration. So if you have some canning questions, you can ask them at 800-642-1234. And we have a caller on the line right now. Connie is with us from Portage. Connie, thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Good morning. I have a question on freezing. I've already done my canning, but I didn't know if I could ask a question on freezing.
Go right ahead.
Yes. Do I have to blanch corn or peas?
You know, have to is the operative word. You'll get a better product when you use it if you blanch them first. It's just, you know, does it poison it? If you don't, no, it doesn't at all. But you're going to end up with a much better tasting and looking corn or peas if you just blanch them before you freeze them.
Connie, thanks for the call. For those who don't know, what does blanching mean? What is that?
Blanching is a cooking term, and what it means is a quick submersion, meaning like a minute or two, into boiling water. And what that does is essentially kind of, it stops the decay. Anytime you pick a fruit or vegetable, it's going to start to decay. By doing a quick blanch, you're essentially seizing up that process, if you think about it as a freeze ray, you're about to freeze it, and by blanching it, it stops the decay, it preserves the quality, and then you can get stuff into the freezer. And again, you get a better quality product that way.
All right, Connie, thanks for the call. 800-642-1234, the number to call to join the program and ask your question. We mentioned apples earlier as something we might do something with in the fall. Pickled apples, of course, or fermented apples, a staple, as you mentioned, at Wisconsin supper clubs. What else can we do with apples?
Apple butter. Apple jelly, apple jam. One of my favorites of all time is home canned apple pie filling. It's relatively simple to do, but there's nothing like having your home canned pie filling. You know, again, in the middle of winter, you're able to throw a pie together pretty quickly. If you've ever bought the kind of canned pie filling and it's overly sweet and there's maybe one apple in all the goo. Once you can your own, you'll never buy a commercially produced pie filling again. That's one of the best things to do.
Something my mother used to do is to take the apples, cut up the apples, get the pie filling ready, put it in, put a liner in the pie tin, plastic bag, put the apples in, drop it in the pie tin, press it into shape and freeze that. And then pull it out, and she'd have these, and she could just drop them in a crust and throw it in the oven. And when she was working full time, that was a really big deal for her. It's still September. What are your suggestions for what we should do with those last tomatoes we're going to be picking here shortly?
Depending on whether you're kind of in the southern part of the state or the northern part of the state, there's a couple of great combinations happening. So, this is the kind of in the Venn diagram of when things become ripe. Hot peppers are still around, so it's great time to make salsa with some of those extra tomatoes that are coming in the end of the, so your last chance to make salsa. It's also the time when, cabbages are starting to come ripe, and chow chow is one of the great African American traditional canned relishes. If you know, that's, I guess it falls under a relish, to start making now. So those are two things that you could get going on.
Okay, what about pumpkins? Is there a good way to preserve them?
Pumpkins become a little bit challenging. There's always a way to preserve anything. I always recommend to folks thinking about what they have in the garden, what they want to preserve. Think about how you want to eat it. So for pumpkins and any other squashes, the best way to go, you've got really two options. You can freeze it, or you have to pressure can it. Squash have, they're very dense. They're very cellularly dense. So it's not something that can be done in a hot water bath canner. And so you have to kind of take other measures, and they are low in acid naturally. So again, you could pickle something. You could, you know, you may have heard of like pickled watermelon rinds, but you could put them in the pressure canner or freeze them or dehydrate it.
All right. Well, we'll continue our conversation with Christina Ward after a bit, and we'll take some of your calls as well. Christina is a certified master food preserver for Milwaukee County, author of the book, The Art Food Preservation, The Art and Science of Canning, Fermentation, and Dehydration. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, we're talking this hour about how to preserve that food from your garden or that bounty you got from the farmer's market. And joining us to lead that discussion, Christina Ward, a certified master food preserver for Milwaukee County, author of the book Preservation, the Art and Science of Canning, Fermentation, and Dehydration, 800-642-1234. Let us know whether or not food preservation has become a tradition for you, and maybe you've got some special recipe you'd like to share with us, 800-642-1234. Call right now. We will try to get you in before the end of the program. Here we have a caller, Jackie, on the line from Menominee. Jackie, you're with us. Go ahead.
Hi, Christina. I have a question about dehydrating. I dehydrated some zucchini last summer in a food dehydrator, and over the winter it was in an open mouth, a wide, huge jar, so it was exposed to the air. Well, pick up some mold, and I'm wondering if that could be boiled off, or I should just toss it in the compost and start over.
Jackie, I'm going to say the hard thing, which is it's time to toss it. When you're storing dehydrated foods, essentially, you're removing all the moisture. And so if you store it where moisture can get back into the food, it's going to pick up a little bit of water, which makes it attractive to bacteria and molds. And really, honestly, unless somebody is starving, literally starving, there's really no need to kind of eat the moldy stuff. So I would say, one, toss it in the compost heap. And then two, next time you're dehydrating, make sure that you put a lid or store that in a Ziploc plastic bag. Or they make something pretty handy right now if you're a person that uses the vacuum sealers. They have an attachment for canning jars, so you can store it in a canning jar and then pull all the air out, and that makes it a real good option for long-term storage for dehydrated foods.
Jackie, sorry about the advice to toss all that food that you dried, but yeah, you don't want to be eating mold. What foods are best for dehydration? What works the best?
Well, again, dehydration is the removal of the moisture of the food. And again, without moisture, the germs don't want to go there. So foods that are have a higher moisture content work really well for dehydrating. So you're thinking about apples, you know, dried apples, dried bananas, dried fruit, of all types, pineapple, dried vegetables. You can then dry, say, something like a tomato and get it super dried out and then grind it up into a powder. So a lot of folks, you can make vegetable powders, you can make fruit powders that can get added to smoothies for a nutritional boost. You can mix dried vegetables together, say like a celery, an onion, and a carrot, and keep that as essentially like a mirepoix for cooking, for soups. And so there's a lot of great things you can do with dehydration.
All right. You teach a lot of classes. Tell us about some of the classes you teach.
I teach a lot of classes on entry-level classes on the basics of any type of canning and fermentation and the dehydration. Because, again, it's one of those sciences that's been a little lost to generations. So I'm happy to bring it back. Currently, through the horticultural gardens in Milwaukee at the Milwaukee Domes, we're doing a series on fermentation. So we're going to be exploring once a month at local breweries, kind of, again, as you mentioned earlier, that is also fermentation, different styles of fermentation. We did sauerkraut last month. We're going to be doing Japanese-style Tsukumonos of fermentation this month. So...
Wow, there's just so much going on. Who comes to your classes? What kind of is there? I mean, maybe it's impossible to generalize, but who do you see coming out for these classes?
The best part is that you can't generalize. We've got people coming from everybody you can imagine. So young folks who may not have that cultural history with food preservation, but are really interested in food culture in general. We have folks that are trying to reconnect that may have done it with their mom or grandma, but just have that vague memory on how to do it. We have, you know, again, so we've got folks from every walk of life you can imagine who just make that decision to say, huh, I bet I can preserve that. And that's really all it takes, is just that momentary interest. And then you can find out that a whole new world of food opens up to you.
Well, this time of year, people are getting their second round of green beans picked. What do we need to know right now about green beans?
Let me dispel right away. There's this old myth that just won't die, is that that green beans can be preserved in water in a hot water bath canner. That is a lie. No. Green beans are inherently very low in acid, and that's a really dangerous thing. So you need to use a pressure canner. A pressure canner is a specific tool, and what it does is, by pressurizing that vessel, it raises the temperature enough to get inside the jar to obliterate all of the really nasty pathogens. And the really nasty one is botulism, and that's a danger with low acid foods. So green beans, now you've got two choices. You can do them in the pressure canner, or you can pickle them. And dilly beans, pickled green beans, are delicious and safe, and you can make those. You can keep those longer in the fridge, or you can hot water bath can them. But that's it. You cannot put them in a jar and put them in the water bath canner. That is very unsafe. Please don't do that.
All right. Message received and understood. Let's take another call. Ned is with us in De Pere. Ned, good morning. Thanks for joining us on The Morning Show.
Good morning. I'd like to ask Christina, I do a lot of dehydrating of peppers in the fall. I also do some fermenting. And my fermenting process is, I cut the peppers up, put them in a mason jar, put in a little oil and salt, and then I put them on the windowsill, and they ferment. You know, within 3 or 4 days, then I add vinegar or lime juice and put them in the refrigerator. But at this time of year, because of the sun's angle and the cool temperatures, I'm not getting the ferment to go fast enough. So I'm wondering if she's got a solution.
I have a couple recommendations. So lose the oil, first of all. By adding the oil, you're kind of creating a situation where you're reducing the acid a lot. And by putting the oil in when you're trying to ferment it, you're kind of preventing that ferment from happening. And so temperature plays a huge role in fermentation. There's always, you know, bacteria like us have, you know, a sweet spot we prefer temperature-wise. And so when it dips below 50, it slows down that bacterial activity. So start your ferment with just a little salt to help as an attractant to start releasing that moisture, making it more attractive. Maybe wrap it, keep it in the dark so it's not getting direct sunlight, so that, because that will also kill the bacteria, and maybe keep it in, just, you know, wrap it in a towel, keep it in a warm spot, and lose the oil, and then you'll start the ferment. And I'm glad to hear that after you're getting to the point where your ferment is kind of to where you want it at, you know, peak pickle, peak ferment, that you're adding some additional acidification. Again, that acidification, we're erecting barriers to bacteria, and that's another one that helps make it any type of food that we're going to eat inhospitable to bacteria growth.
Ned, thanks for the call. Let's take a quick call from Ron in Whitefish Bay. And Ron, we're almost out of time, so please be brief.
Yes, I'd like to know if there's a recipe for a hot water bath for sauerkraut. If I chop it up, put it in a jar, put the vinegar, salt mixture into it, and then put it in the hot water bath. Is that possible to do? Everything I've seen calls for the crock pot type method.
So real quick, to get sauerkraut, it has to be fermented. After it's fermented, you can put it in a jar and in hot water bath can it for longer term storage. If you're not fermenting it first, then it's just pickled cabbage. Still delicious, but a different thing altogether. So there are some recipes that include pickled cabbage. Those are, again, I would go to thelearningstore.edu, Wisconsin, and Google that. And there are some great handouts and recipes for both sauerkraut, how to can sauerkraut, and then how to do some pickled cabbage. Or, you can pick up my book. I'm happy to say that. But again, there's some free resources through the University of Wisconsin.
So how do you get to be a master food preserver?
There's a series of classes and programs administered through the university. And sadly, some of the budgetary cuts, they haven't offered that for the past few years. But there's also a volunteer component. So it's not a matter of just taking these classes and tests to be certified, but also to make a commitment to volunteer and share knowledge in your community.
So what got you interested in food preservation to begin with?
I've always been interested in just food history. I grew up in Milwaukee and spending all my summers with my grandmother on her farm, a very, very kind of a primitive farm outside of Osseo, Wisconsin. And she did a lot of food preservation. And of all the farm tasks, that was the one I really enjoyed doing. And so that really caught the bug for me to pursue it and to keep learning and to keep researching history of techniques, what's the modern techniques, as well as then kind of cultural. Every culture has their own version of canning, of fermenting. And so to me, you learn about people when you learn about the food they ate.
And quickly, where can people go for more information about food preservation?
Once again, there's the Center for Home Food Preservation. You can Google that. And that is the master clearinghouse for all of the land-grant universities that participate in doing the research for home food preservation and doing it safely.
All right, Christina, thank you for your time today. Christina Ward is a certified master food preserver for Milwaukee County. She's a food preservation expert for WBEZ, and she has written the book, Preservation, the Art and Science of Canning, Fermentation, and Dehydration. She joined us from the WPR studios in Milwaukee. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.